Welcome to Why Your Story Podcast, brought to you by the beautiful home in the beautiful house of SVI Media. I'm your host, Travis Osmond.
And I am your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And we are so happy to be with you again for another exciting episode.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't we?
I am. Hey, that fish you caught was huge.
39.6 pounds.
Wow.
I mean, that's
wow.
A big fish.
That's a huge fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet that was hard to hold.
Well, when you have big muscles, it'd probably be hard for you to hold.
So, you don't have any, but... So, did somebody else hold it for you?
It's photoshopped. No, it was fun. Oh, you got to love Flaming Gorge for big fish.
That is so true. Who did you go with?
Just a friend of mine named
really?
Shane, yeah.
And did he catch some big ones too?
Yep, he did. We actually caught six total.
Wow.
So, it was just a good time. Springtime has already hit Flaming Gorge. It's still winter here, but it's... I think spring is... trying to get to Star Valley.
It is, as I'm watching the flakes fall in March.
I know, right? Doggone it.
It's okay.
Yeah, we'll make it through it.
We will.
It is actually the end of March, so hopefully April will bring showers.
Oh, I guarantee it. And May. Oh. And some more snow.
Gosh. Well, what do you think we ought to thank our sponsors?
Yes.
So I had the piña colada from the pop shop.
Yeah.
It's the real deal.
The real deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't have one right now, and I'm a little bit frustrated with myself, but.
I don't have anything now either. I'm off.
You're off?
Yeah. Well, mentally, I've been off for as long as you know me.
I'm still working, but doggone it.
Yeah.
No, we like to think of the Pop Shop there in Afton for our sponsorship. Go over there, go see Tommy and the gals. They're awesome.
They're really cute.
Get you a working dad.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you happen to be a mom and a working mom, just trust me, try it. You'll like it.
Okay.
Okay?
I will. I have not tried that one.
You haven't?
Does it have Mountain Dew?
No, it's Dr. Pepper.
Oh, I love Dr. Pepper.
Oh, if you...
Oh, I'm going to go over there after
you got to go, and you can even get it like a diet working dad or a diet working mom.
Oh.
But it's the balm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, go try that. That'll be this week's flavor.
Okay. That sounds good.
And we also want to give a shout out to the hospital.
We do. Star Valley Health.
Thank you for coming on board with us.
Yes, we appreciate that.
And again, just to clarify, even though we both are employed with mm-hmm. Star Valley Health, me as an EMT and you as an EMT and a...
I also am an MA for ortho.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Do you get to cut people or is that just left alone for surgeons?
No, I can take out stitches and...
Eyeballs?
I haven't taken out an eyeball.
Okay.
Oh boy. Anyway, what would you do if you had a hanging eyeball?
A hanging eyeball? Well, I would not cut anything. I would secure it with tape and gauze.
And a cup.
But if it's hanging from their head?
Well, you got to kind of gather it up.
Okay, yeah. I would put it in a cup and tape it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And just put like the cup over their eye and tape it, and then I would probably go 2 large bore IVs.
Oh, of course you would.
Normal saline.
A little fentanyl.
A little fentanyl. But I guarantee you they're going to get a little bit of Valium, too. Because
yes.
I would absolutely be losing my ever-loving mind.
I'm going to need the Valium.
The thing is the patient needs Valium, but then I'm going to need Valium. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Because if I see your eyeball hanging out of your head, yeah. I'm giving myself Valium first.
You're going to be...
Because I'm not any good if I'm all freaked out.
That is true.
Right?
Right. I know.
So the first thing would be to give me Valium and then the patient Valium.
Okay. I agree. Now that we've clarified that, folks. Oh, boy.
But we're thankful for Star Valley Health.
We are.
For sponsoring the podcast. And we have an announcement.
We do.
From SVI Media. Teen Idol.
That's right. I'm so excited.
Okay. So it's the finals are April 16th. Is that correct?
That is correct. I don't have a time.
Okay, April 16th, and guess what? Your phone is on again. This has got to be some kind of record, right? Like 30 in a row?
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, tell Mike Hansen, thanks for calling during our podcast.
Thanks, Mike Hansen.
So, and I understand there's going to be a special appearance or a special judge or something.
Yes.
What do you know about that?
I know he's a really wonderful guy.
He? Is it a he?
Oh, Yeah.
It is.
On most days.
MJ, so we were told not to divulge any information about this special judge, but apparently it's a guy, according to MJ.
That's all I can say.
It's all you can say. But anyway, you do want to tune in. It's going to be an amazing event. They have 9 finalists, if I remember
right. They do.
So tune in. It's going to be great.
Yes, it is.
What are we talking about today?
What should we talk about? Getting lost?
You get lost.
You get lost.
You first. Let's talk about getting lost.
Okay. Have you ever been lost?
I have been lost several times in my life.
Yeah.
A lot of times I walk around like people think I'm lost, but I'm not. It's just I'm in deep thought. But a couple times out in the mountains I've been lost, and then I was lost in Paris once.
Wow.
Yeah.
That wee-wee.
Wee. In fact, it had to do with wee-wee. But let's tell... Let's tell your story first about being lost.
Well, how'd you know I had a story about being lost?
Well, I can just knowing what I know about MJ, I bet you there's a lot of stories about me.
Oh, yeah. There's a reason I don't drive the ambulance.
There's a reason that they made malls go in circles. And one of those is because of MJ. I'm just guessing.
I have so many times I get lost. But
tell us a good one.
This one's kind of a sad, funny one. Okay. So years and years ago, my daughter was 3 and I was at Mervyn's in Layton, Utah, and I was just down this little tiny aisle with the toys. And so if you went around the corner from it, there were more toys. And so I'm looking at this one particular thing, and Jamie goes around the corner, and I'm like, oh, she's looking at toys. So I look for a few seconds. Honestly, it was that fast. And I go around, and she's not there. And I'm like, Jamie. And then I go up and down, up and down. I'm looking all over. I can't find her. And it was crazy how fast she was gone. And so I went to, I'm crying now. And so I went to to the office of Mervyn's to have them speak over the loudspeaker to look for a little blonde girl.
And how old was she?
2.5, 3.
Oh my gosh.
Somewhere in there. And I mean, she could talk a little, but yeah, very kind of clueless age, you know, still that, where am I at? And so this lady was on the phone that worked there, and she wouldn't help me. And she just kept jabbing and jabbing. Time's ticking, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
And what seemed to me like 5 minutes was probably really 30 seconds. But I grabbed her wrist, and I go, my daughter is lost! And I'm sobbing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's just like, okay. And she tells the caller, hey, I'll call you back. Hangs up, and so she makes an announcement. So security came, and it was at the mall.
Oh, my gosh.
And I am just freaked out. So I just start looking around. I'm crying. I call Steve. I call, you know, anybody that I think can come and help me out, because I am freaked out. Anybody that's lost their child knows that horrible, horrible feeling. And so a good 30 minutes had passed, and Steve was on his way. And I am like, I can't live with myself. This is awful. And they said, hey, ma'am, we've found her.
Oh.
And I'm like, where was she? And they're like, she was downstairs by the water, the little water pond thing in the middle.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. And I turn around, and this little girl looks at me, and I look at her, and we both are screaming. We're like, ah! It wasn't my daughter. I don't know whose daughter it was.
What?
Yeah, they brought me some little blonde girl.
Someone else's daughter?
Yeah. So now the mom thinks there's a guy or a group of people stealing kids. You know, I've got
You've
everybody
got
in
to be kidding
no.
me.
No. And I'm usually pretty calm, maybe a little high strung, but I'm usually pretty calm. And I was not. I was out of control. And now 45 minutes have passed. And I'm devastated. We have all kind of cops there, all kind of security. And so that I was so grateful for. Then this employee said, are you the one missing the little girl? And I go, yeah. She goes, come with me. So I follow her back to the toy aisle where I was at, and there was the children's clothes aisle, and there's a pair of feet you can see.
No, just sticking out from underneath?
Yeah, and they're just crisscrossing, and every time she thought she was in trouble, so she hid. And I am like, oh my gosh. And, you know, I pull her out by her ankles. And of course, I am just sobbing. She's sobbing. And it was horrible. It was, and they finally reunited the other mother who realized she'd lost her child.
Oh my gosh.
It was so horrible. But I was grateful for wonderful police officers and prayer. It really was.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
I'll bet that absolutely wigged you out when you turned around and it was not your daughter.
Yes.
Something's going on. That's like, that's like movie worth worthy.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
Yeah. What about you?
I'm starting to get anxiety already just thinking about the one time. I mean, anytime someone says, Travis, tell me about a time you were lost, I automatically, there's two that come to my mind, but the one was I had just barely been married. So it was pre cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Time there. I mean, there were cell phones, but it was like that.
The bricks.
It was the time in between the briefcase phone and the those big flip phones. You know, the bricks. And so I didn't. I mean, obviously, we were just barely married. Didn't have a phone. Didn't have a penny. So I was actually traveling with the Osmond brothers.
Okay.
Playing bass, and so they had been, and I don't remember if it was Scotland or Germany, it was somewhere over in that area. Anyway, I had a layover in Paris. Okay. And poor Travis, I'm just this little kid from rural Utah.
And how old were you about?
I was 22.
Okay.
Probably 22, maybe 23, somewhere out in there.
Okay.
So anyway, they were flying the band in, and of course I was coming from Salt Lake International into Paris and then catching my flight. Well, long story short, I get there, I land in Paris, I get off the plane, and I always want to check on my bass because basses, I always carry mine with me, but a lot of times they're too big to they'll just like do a boarding check on check, you know, and I always just pick it up when I first get off the plane. So I went and was waiting for them to bring me my bass. And you would think that someone would say hello or can I help you?
Right.
Or hola, whatever.
Hola. It's buongiorno.
Buongiorno or whatever.
No, not I'm saying that Hispanic. I don't know.
I was just expecting someone to acknowledge the existence of this guy that's standing there waiting. They just completely ignored me.
Oh, wow.
And so I said to the, there was a guy that was there and he was wearing a little blue suit like people do that work at airports. And I said, hey, I need to get my bass. It was checked on as I was walking on the plane. And I'm like, dude, I only speak English, only English. And he's like, anyway, it was a disaster. So then he brought over this gal and I said, I need to get my bass. And I was, you know, bass, making the sign of a guitar, my bass on my shoulder. I need it. And she's like, she's looking at me like, this is a dumb American, you know? And finally, this third guy comes over and he's like, oh, yes, we will get it. We will get it. Mm-hmm. We will get it. Maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Wow.
I'm like, okay. So I'm looking around for a bathroom. Okay. And I thought that there was always the universal sign for bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, a guy and a lady, whatever. Yeah. There's not.
Really?
Have you been to the Paris airport?
Yeah, Charles de Gaulle. Yeah.
There's not a sign for a girl and a sign for a boy.
Does it say the word in French?
No, it's a round circle and there's a dot underneath it. And I don't know if the dot means boy or I don't know if the dot means girl. I don't know.
Oh,
I have no idea. And I'm watching for people because there's only one. Normally there'd be a boy and a girl side.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, I'm just going to watch to see who walks in there because I'm assuming it's a bathroom. So I'm sitting there and I'm getting anxious, right?
Oh,
I got to go now. It's time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to be the American that walks into a girl's bathroom in Paris. So I'm watching. Nobody goes in.
Oh, wow.
Nobody comes out. So I thought, I'm just going to walk around and find another baño.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Donde los baños? That's all I know is Mexican, but I'm in Paris. So walking down, I start walking through this, and there's really all these shops, expensive perfumes and just chocolate, I remember, and then the foreign currency exchange. Anyway, I get into where all these people, there's like this some food there, and I make a turn, and I got intertwined with all these people.
Oh, no.
Next thing I know, MJ, I have no freaking clue where I'm at. I have no idea.
And you still haven't found a bathroom.
And I still haven't found a bathroom.
Oh, no.
So there's this guy standing there, and he's standing right outside of one of the doors that has the little dot on it, you know?
Yeah.
And he's wearing a turban on his head. Okay. I am not a bigoted person. I have no bigoteded bone in my body at all.
Mm-hmm.
Red, true. Black, yellow, green, purple, it doesn't matter to me, okay? Yeah. But it's intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
I was intimidated. Whole different culture. I'm not accustomed to it. So I just walked up to him and I said, hey, I'm looking for the bathroom, restroom, toilet. Oh, toilet. Toilet. And he's like, yeah. I said, toilet, toilet. Where? Where? And he completely pointed away from this room. So I'm like, oh, toilet. And I'm like, on this side. And he's like, oh, this side. Very super nice guy. No, this side.
Yeah.
Finally, I go to this. And it was the same signal, but I don't know why he didn't tell me to go in this room. So now I'm totally freaked out what this sign means. And so to go to the bathroom, you walk down like six steps of stairs onto this landing, and there's two doors.
Oh.
Luckily, a guy walks out of this door.
Oh, wow.
So I just, while it was open, I walked in, took care of business, came out. I spent at least 30 minutes walking around, and the only That's thing crazy. That saved me is I smelt the perfume.
Oh.
Where I would walk by the first time. I smelt the perfume. And when I got over there, I started, you know, things started making sense to me. And I finally found that little gal that didn't speak English.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, base. And she's like, oh, I remember you. I remember. And she took me over to this closet and my base was sitting there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That
horrible experience.
Yeah.
And I don't care what anybody says. And this is from the book of Travis. And I love everybody from Paris, France, so don't get me wrong, but the airport was filthy.
Oh.
It was scary. It was cold.
There's
no colors in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, Paris, land of love, you know, and we're going to get off and everybody's going to be dancing. And there's going to be French music playing, you know, and little biscuits and flowers. It was horrible. It smelled like smoke, and it was overcast, and there were cigarette butts in all the corners. And,
it was.
You know, have you been there?
I have, and it is not a clean.
It was not. It was horrible. The bathrooms were dirty.
Ooh.
All I wanted to do was get home.
Yeah.
To little town Fairview, Utah, because I had done it, and so by the time I finally got. I want to say the next one I flew into London from there, but I wanted to wring my dad's neck because I'd never ever wanted to travel alone again ever. And to this day, I never have traveled alone.
Really?
No, I hate it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I got lost in Paris.
Wow.
That was my lost.
Yeah, that's a scary little thought.
That was a good one.
So what do you think are some things people could do if they do get lost?
Okay, so here's the deal. My mom always says, if you get lost, stay put.
Yep, that's what you're supposed to do.
Don't move, right? So if I would have followed my mom's advice, I would have peed my pants. And what do you think people from Paris do when they see an American that has peed his pants in the airport? They probably put him in an insane asylum, right? I'm just saying. Travis would have been sitting in the corner, peed his pants, and crying like a little girl. That's just me.
Yeah. So, well, she's right. Unless there's imminent danger or something.
Oh,
you stay put.
Yeah. Stay where you are.
Yeah.
So somebody can find you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who would have found me?
Good point. maybe as they're loading to go on. Because you're going to take off again, right?
Yeah, I had to connect a gate, and thank heavens it was only like 9 gates down.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Thank heavens.
Have you been to the new Salt Lake Airport?
No.
I
don't ever want to fly again.
Oh.
I hate
you
airplanes.
Will.
I'm sure I will.
I'm sure you will too, but it's crazy. It's an easy get lost place now.
Ugh.
Yeah. Really annoying.
But yeah, so scary. Stay where you're at.
Stay where you're at.
What else?
Stay calm.
Calm.
Yep. If you're in the mountains and it's snowing like now, try not to get more saturated with sweat or wet, if you can help.
I have a good mountain story being lost.
Good. Tell me.
Well, you first. I just got done. You tell me a story.
Okay.
Do you have another lost story?
Oh, I get lost all the time.
Fire away.
It's me.
Fire away.
Well, one time we went, I take my grandkids when they turn 5 to Disneyland. And it's just a blast. Well, my little grandson, Brody, who was 5 at the time, it was for his birthday. We're all standing there watching the parade. And then I had to go to the restroom, speaking of the restroom. So my other grandson, Foster, is like, I'll go with you, Grandma, and I've got to go too. So we both take off, not knowing that Brody was behind us, that he had to go too.
Uh-oh.
Parents didn't say anything to me. Brody didn't say anything to me.
Gotcha.
There's all these people. I don't do well in crowds. I was just like, oh. And so we go to the bathroom, and then we come back, and my daughter Jamie's like, where's Brody? And I'm like, I don't know. He was right here with you. And she goes into mom panic mode. Now, that mind you, this is the same little girl that hid from her mom at Mervyn's. I'm just saying, sometimes payback is bad. And so I walk up to an animal of some kind. I don't know who it was, which one. And I'm just like, can you radio some help? We've lost a boy, and he's 5, and he has on a green shirt. And the guy's like, yeah. And I didn't know this, but the animals and people that are security are everywhere at Disneyland. There's tons of them. And then there's tons of cameras as the exits and entrances.
Oh, I believe that. Absolutely.
Because
you never know.
You would never know.
Yeah.
And kids are always screaming and mad and or happy or, you know. And so how would you know if it was the parent or not?
Right, right.
So we start looking and looking and looking, and we can't find him. And I mean,
oh my gosh.
All the kids look like Brody. I mean, I'm just like, oh my goodness. And so I would say a good hour passed. An hour.
Oh my gosh.
In Disneyland missing Brody. And so another animal found us, but we stayed in the same place. We didn't all run around. And they brought him to us, and he had a lollipop. And he was scared. But he had gone into the parade and started following. He thought that is what we had done. He never did go to the bathroom because he had to go to the bathroom.
He followed the parade away from you?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so that's where he was at. But yeah, I would also say if you're lost and you're in a place that has people, notify as many people as you can.
Well, that's what I was just thinking. You know, as a parent, I think that's my worst nightmare.
It is.
In Disneyland and you can't find your kid.
Exactly.
That's my worst nightmare, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Or a sporting goods
you know,
event.
For a young person, and you know you're lost and you don't know where your folks are, let people know, hey, I can't find my mom and dad, but try to, don't just go to shady people and say that, but try to find a policeman or go to a lady that's running the store,
a cashier, or a grandma. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Although I was bad grandma.
Trustworthy person, you know, because every corner at Disneyland has a vendor, you know, somebody selling churros or nachos or ice cream, you know, go to one of those guys because I guarantee you they got a radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And have the description and then talk to your kids before, like have that conversation now with your kids, which I think most people do. A matter of fact, I asked my granddaughter, I was watching her a few days ago and I said, hey, you know your address? And she's like, yeah. And she's, you know, rattles it off. And I'm like, that's great. And what are the cell phone numbers? And she knew them both. And she's 8.
Yeah.
Her sister in the back, that's 6. She knew it. So it's really important. To know
absolutely
what your address and phone number is. But tell me your story about...
So the mountain deal, I told you there was two. If you said, Travis, tell me about being lost, those would be the two stories. So my little brother on the mountain and then Paris. So my little brother on the mountain, so we had elk tags and we wanted to hunt this spot and we had found it on the map and it looked really good. It was about a 3 mile hike into this plateau. And this plateau is awesome. I mean, it's flat. It has everything you ever want back there. Lots of feed and stuff for elk. And
nice.
We've always wanted to go hunt it. And the weather was calling for a storm to move in the next day. So we thought this will be perfect. Let's go in there because generally low fronts come in. Animals are active. So my brother and I, we took off about 10 o'clock in the morning. It was quite a drive. But we wanted to get there in the evening. We thought we'd kill one, you know, and just come and get it the next morning with the horses. So we were actually on foot.
Oh boy.
And so we had we parked our truck and we put our packs on and we started going in, and on the way in it started snowing. And I'm like, this stinks. I mean, even though the hunting is probably going to be really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
It really stinks that it's snowing, and it wasn't really sticking on the ground snowing. It was just making us kind of wet and cold, that miserable. And we kept going in. We're like 2.5 miles in. We finally get to where we're there, and we start seeing elk.
Nice.
And we're pumped. But it's still not sticking snow, because we thought if we could get like an inch on the ground, we'd be in good shape. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we saw some elk. We made a plan to get in there. Anyway, plan was working great, but we bumped them. Didn't get a shot at them, so we were going to make another plan. Anyway, we were playing this cat and mouse game with these elk for hours, and it started to get dark.
Oh no.
Okay. Well. My thought has always been, I mean, I don't carry a compass with me because I thought that's stupid. Because you either just have to walk downhill or find a stream and follow the stream out.
Right.
Or just look to where the sun's going down. And that'll tell you what direction you need to go. The problem is the storm had rolled in so hard there was no sun.
Yeah.
And we were on a plateau. So I could not tell which direction was down.
You can't. Yeah.
And there was no streams on the plateau. So there was no water. And I had never been in that situation before. I've always been in a drainage or on a mountain where I knew that, hey, this is down, that's up, duh. So the truck's got to be side hill this way or straight down that drainage. We didn't know. We had no idea. So the idea was, well, it's muddy enough and it's wet enough. Let's just start following our tracks. But we because we had made this plan on this elk, we had dropped down in this really thick gully, and we thought, well, let's just scoot around this and we'll find our tracks.
No.
It got dark.
Oh boy.
It got dark. This was again before cell phones. We had our headlamps.
And it's still snowing.
And it's still snowing. But now it's cold and now it's really snowing. So now the chances of following our tracks in the mud are done because the snow has covered them. And we're making tracks, but we're on virgin ground now and it's black. I mean, it is pitch black. We know we're 2 miles at least from our truck. The scary part was I wasn't scared because I felt like we needed to go this way.
Yeah.
Okay. So I felt like we had a good plan. And once we got to a certain location, I felt like we'd be fine because we'd be able to see the highway in the distance. The only problem was my brother said, no, we have to go this way.
Oh,
I'm like, no, Shane, we have to go this way. No, Travis, we have to go this way. So that's when I really got worried about it, because I'm like, none of us really trusted ourselves.
Yeah.
And so we just sat there and we thought, well, one of us is going to have to make a decision. We got to do it. So for those of you that aren't religious, but we actually said a prayer. We knelt down and we said a prayer. And I just said, Shane, I feel really strongly we need to go this way. This is the way we need to go. And literally we walked. So now we're about 12:30 at night, 12:30 in the morning, and we're soaking wet. So I said to Shane, I said, hey, we're way past where we should be to see the road. I said, so let's go, let's give it 10 more minutes and let's build a fire. And then we're staying the night because we got to get dry or we're not going to make it through the night.
So did you have provisions for
that? Oh yeah, we had food. We always carried my space blanket.
And a tarp.
I'm not worried about spending the night in the hills, even though I knew it was going to get cold and stuff. So anyway, so we went for 10 minutes. And we thought, okay, well, we're spending the night.
Wow.
Our poor mom, she knows we're up hunting, but she has no idea where we're up hunting, right?
Wow.
Now it's like 12:45 in the morning. Anyway, I start, digging through my pack, and all of a sudden Shane says, did you hear that? I said, hear what? He says, Travis, I just heard a horn.
Oh.
And I said, what? He says, I just heard a horn. I swear I heard a horn. I didn't hear it because the snow is just laying this blanket down. It's so thick.
Oh.
And I said, for real? He's like, Travis. And then all of a sudden we both heard it.
Wow.
So I threw my pack on and we just started, and we went maybe 2 minutes and there was the road.
Oh my goodness.
But what we had done is instead of going straight on top of the ridge, we had kind of gone off to the side.
Yeah.
And so we were just paralleling the road for a long time. But anyway, we kind of come around the ridge top there and there was the road right there. And I don't know why someone had honked their horn, but someone honked their horn and we heard it. And maybe they were scaring deer off the road or whatever, but they heard it. And We got on the road. We had like a mile and a half walk back that we had walked past our vehicle.
Ugh.
But we didn't care by the time we were on the road, you know. So anyway, that is
crazy.
Scary instance.
Well,
there,
so. A couple of things you did right is you were prepared. You had a pack that had matches or a lighter and you had a tarp and all that. Because that is a problem with people that get lost in the woods. What do they do if they have just on their shirt as they took off for a hike? So, yeah. And then you stopped and you thought and, you know, you prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all important things to do.
Yep.
And it is true to go downhill and follow the stream, but a lot of times it leads you down to a gully that there's no way back out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so
you got to be smart about that stuff.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, I used to ski patrol, and when you have that flat light, when it's snowing, you can't really tell your directions at all. So yeah, a compass is a good idea.
Well, the thing that my brothers and I had for going for us is that we weren't afraid of spending the night in the dark.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of that. Mm-hmm. And the reason is I encourage people, if you really want to know what you need to make it through a night in the wilderness, go spend a night in the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
I mean, don't go get lost on purpose, but go up in the hills and make a little shelter with what you've got in your pack and spend the night and see what you need to have to stay warm and dry and comfortable. And
that's right.
I think the big thing that people, when they get lost in the hills, they tend to panic. And I think that's what gets people in trouble more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the studies that I have read time and time and time and time again, if you can get a fire going, you can calm down and relax and know that at least you're going to be warm.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Take a few candy bars, get some water, get a fire going. It's going to be okay. The light will come again.
Right.
You know, but you've got to get dry.
Yeah. And if you're going to, if you need some water, it's not a good idea if you're already soaking wet to, you know, do a big handful of snow, which is what people think, but you've got to warm that up.
Oh, absolutely.
Because then, you know, you're double trouble.
You're taking more energy to melt the snow than what you're providing for yourself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you melt the snow before you drink it for sure.
Yeah. And it doesn't take a lot of, it doesn't have to be super cold, like -50. It only needs to be 50 degrees and then add, you know, your wetness of your clothes and those layers and you're sweating.
You're exhausted already.
Yeah. That's why you're supposed to stay where you're at, although you do need to find shelter of some kind, especially if you're not prepared, because a lot of people just go out on their snow machine for the day and they're like, oh.
Well, and that's a whole different ball game. You know, every year I hear these guys spending the night on their snow machines, you know, and I've never, with the scouts, you know, we always did this thing called the Klondike, or you go and you build a snow cave and spend the night. It was horrible nights.
They are horrible.
You survive, but I never slept.
I didn't either. I was claustrophobic.
Yeah.
It was like, but the best thing is a picnic table. Not that.
You mean climbing under a picnic table?
Go under a picnic table.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, make a, like a igloo.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think that'd be cool. But, you know, these poor snowmobilers that get stuck up there and they have to spend the night. I mean, that's a big deal in of itself, because one, finding fuel to burn and stay warm is more of a trick when you've got 5 feet of snow.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, you can find some dead trees. I mean, if it were me, you know, you find these big dead red pine trees, I'd light that whole thing on fire for
right.
You know, just to get some warmth and some dryness going, and then start gathering wood from there. But
and if people are out searching, they can see that fire.
Absolutely.
Sometime. Hopefully, you know, you
absolutely.
Hope.
Smoke then, at least.
Yeah. And satellite phones are also a good idea if you're going to go for a number of days or whatever. And telling somebody, if you're by yourself.
Yep.
I hike a lot around here, and I go by myself with the dogs a lot of times, and I always tell someone where I'm going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that I would probably get too lost, but.
Well, I think those are some good pointers.
They are.
Let people know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-prepared.
Yep, stay calm.
Stay calm.
And some people carry whistles. Not a metal whistle, though, because if it's cold, your lips are going to freeze. I've had that happen.
No.
So, and a choice I would do probably at the top is pray.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I think those are some good
I do,
advice.
Too. Hopefully.
I think that was a good one. I thought that was a good podcast.
Yeah. I do too. I think it's important, because it's so easy to even just simple little things. One time I flew by myself to Boston, and I got the rental car okay, and I was zipping, and all of a sudden I realized I should have paid a toll.
Oh, no.
And so my face, I'm sure, on the camera was like, what? But and I took off, and so I got to the next toll booth, and I slowed down. I go, I didn't mean to run through this toll booth, I'm just new here. And the guy was just like, oh, it's okay. You'll get a ticket in the mail.
Oh,
and
no.
I did.
You got a ticket.
Yeah. So just think and be prepared. Tell people where you're going, and it'll all be good.
Well, bless your heart. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in today on this great podcast that we're doing. This is Why Your Story Podcast.
Yes, it is.
Brought to you by
Star Valley Media.
Star Valley Internet. SVI, the home of SVI Media. Again, thank you to our sponsors, The Pop Shop.
Thanks so much.
Star Valley Health. Remember Teen Idol. Stay safe out there, everyone.
Be careful.
We'll catch you next time.
Take care.
Thank you very much.